Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And every Monday, we will have the NLP show, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, from 2 to 3 on BreakRadioShow.com and BlogTalkRadio.com/BTBN. And, of course, NLP, like I said, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. I'm a CPA, a business consultant, and a master practitioner in NLP. It's all about human excellence, how to rise above your self-imposed limitation, reaching your full potential in other ways to enhance your life. That's what the world needs right now, and NLP is a wonderful way to reaching your full potential, getting out of your own way, reaching really excellence in life, business, whatever you do. That's what's important. Doesn't matter what you do. Whatever you do, do it well, do it with excellence. And today we have a special guest, Jeff Fagan, CEO and partner of Cloud Income Properties, a great motivational speaker, someone that really understands this like none other. Jeff, welcome to the show.
David, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks very much for inviting me.
You are more than welcome. And we're going to talk, here's the topics we're going to talk about. But before then, we're going to also go over your background, who you are, but the topic to whet everyone's appetite, how important is mindset in the business environment? You and I know it's critical, but before we get into that, what is Cloud Income Properties? Or before we go into that, actually, what's your background? Why don't you start from whenever you want to, what are some of the things that you feel that you are best known for?
Sure. I'm happy to give you a quick background. I'm originally from Canada, and I did my undergraduate work there. And in the 1970s, I decided that the most important thing for me was to develop a strong sales background. And then during the 1970s, Xerox was probably the most well-known and most successful of all the sales training organizations. And I got recruited right out of college and spent a year with Xerox getting professionally trained in sales, which probably was one of the greatest benefits I've had my entire life because, quite frankly, in the 40 years I've been in business, I meet so few professionally trained salespeople. There's a bunch of amateurs out there.
Yeah.
I sold enough Xerox photocopiers in a short period of time. I was able to leave Canada, come down to ASU here in Tempe, Arizona, pay for my MBA program. And I decided, David, that since I intended to become a highly successful individual, that I would have to pay a lot in taxes. And so while I was still in the studying mode, I stayed at ASU and got my passed the CPA exams and went ahead and got my CPA. Over the next 25 years, I had a hugely successful corporate career in senior management, and during that time, I invested in a lot of rental real estate here in Phoenix, and by 2003, I was financially free. Between my wife and myself, we owned a whole bunch of rental homes here in Phoenix, and we didn't have any mortgages on them, and it gave me the freedom to be able to leave the corporate world and become my own entrepreneur. And at that time, that's when I reconnected with my buddy T. Harv Eker,
yep,
who is one of the world's most premier personal development trainers when it comes to business and personal success. He was right on the verge of writing his book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, which is a New York Times number one bestseller. And he was going through explosive growth and asked me if I'd be willing to commute between Phoenix and Vancouver to help build his organization. I did that, and in addition to that, I really learned all the secrets to entrepreneurship, to business, to money management, to investments, to all of that. Came back to Phoenix, started my own financial services business. When the real estate market crashed here, I started a company with some partners called Caliber, and we successfully sold lots and lots of real estate. And today, I'm now the CEO of Cloud Income Properties. We're breaking ground in a brand new field that we believe is going to be global in scope and the opportunity to do something on a mass scale.
Now, you like to think big. We know that. And so tell us, what is Cloud Income Properties? What do you do?
Well, you know what? If you believe like we do that the internet is here to stay and that e-commerce is here to stay and that everybody's going to be walking around with a device, and I'm actually holding it in my hand here,
An iPhone. I got one of those right there.
And I suspect most of your listening audience does as well.
Uh-huh.
And over the next 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years, the saturation in North America and around the world of people who hold one of these iPhones is going to be phenomenal. And the fact of the matter is, if you believe, David, like I do, that people do their banking, they'll purchase stuff, they'll do all kinds of commerce right from their own little phone that's in the palm of their hand, e-commerce will explode. And the whole idea is, if you can position yourself so that you're getting your share of all that e-commerce business, you can really make a great income for yourself. So the fact of the matter is, on a daily basis, all around the world, there are literally tens of thousands of websites that people have created that are creating cash flow, little e-commerce businesses that for a variety of reasons they choose to sell.
Mm.
And I have a partner who's been buying and selling and managing websites since 1996. So he certainly knows how to go out there into the global market and find these cash-flowing websites that have phenomenal upside potential. We buy these websites, and then we either manage them ourselves or we sell them to investors who would like to own their own websites. And if they can't manage them, we manage them for them. So it's a huge opportunity for people to create their own cash-flowing assets. As you know as well as I do, David, the most important thing any individual can do is take their money, invest it in assets that create a cash flow and appreciate in value.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these little businesses do.
That is very cool. And it's I suspect it's passive in nature. So you can accumulate a lot of websites, not spend a whole lot of time on them, and have a lot of cash flowing.
That's exactly right. And the reason I actually came up with this concept was, when I was doing real estate 2, 3, 4 years ago here in town, and I had many clients who had, let's say, $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000, and they would come to me and say, Jeff, what would you suggest I invest my money in? And you can't really buy very much real estate for $20,000, $30,000 or $40,000, but you can certainly invest in cash-flowing websites, and these cash-flowing websites are just like owning little rental properties or little turnkey businesses that every month you get to take a little check and put it in your bank account.
That is so interesting. And the product and services, I suspect when you buy these websites, well, they're selling something. So you check out the product, the services that these websites are selling.
You know, it's and
or maybe it's a whole different concept that I'm not sure I understand.
There you go, David.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, there are multiple ways to earn money from websites. And as we went through the process of building our company, we began to realize that there's really two kinds of websites. There are websites that are hands-on, and there are websites that are hands-off. A hands-off website might be like a turnkey business where it pretty much operates itself. And so what we do is we specifically look for websites that fall into this, quote, hands-off category. So the websites that we specialize in primarily earn their income in one of three ways.
Mm.
The first way is advertising revenues. I'm sure you've Googled something and you see the ads on the sides of the page. Well, you know what? There's a lot of websites right now. They generate all their income. They provide free content, but there are ads on both sides of the page, or sometimes there's an ad embedded within the actual article itself. And every time people click on those ads, as the owner of that website, you're generating income for yourself.
So let me ask you this.
Sure.
This is the first of three ways. So I'm really interested in this.
Yeah.
You find a website that has either ads or the potential for ads.
That's one.
And the website would have good content. Is that what it is? And who's writing the content?
Well, you know, typically until we buy it, the owner of the website is writing the content.
And it's content that obviously can draw traffic to the website, thus justifying the advertising.
Not only that,
you're
absolutely right, but I'm sure you're familiar with a company called Google.
Yeah.
And Google kind of has a methodology in terms of determining for SEO ranking, search engine optimization, just exactly where they're going to place your website relative to every other website that's selling in the same market.
Right.
And so the person who learns how to create content, fresh, relevant content that also includes the keywords, those hot keywords, if you do that on a consistent basis, either in the blog postings or in the articles that you're presenting, Google rewards you by moving you from the third page to the second page to eventually to the first page. Now people who are searching for your keywords see you and comes to your website without you actually having to pay-per-click or use other monetary means of getting traffic to your site.
Okay, and so you'll come in, so we'll use this as an example. You see this website has advertising, maybe hasn't reached its potential or doesn't have advertising, but you see the possibility to have this. So you buy it, and then what type of content do you put on?
Okay, that's a great question. Well, first of all, let me kind of clarify something for you,
yeah.
David. We have a methodology for identifying the websites we want to buy, and the first thing that we have as a criteria is that the website has to have been in existence and creating a profit every month for the last year.
Okay.
So we're looking at someone who's already gone through the effort of getting a website started up, of creating a method to have traffic that's going to it, and have identified advertisers or affiliates or products where we can verify that the traffic has been going to the website for the past year, that the revenues that they're claiming have been earned for the past year, but they may not be an expert at driving traffic to a website, or they may not be an expert at optimizing the website once they've created it. That's where we come in, because we can take an existing business, and I'm sure, David, as an experienced business person, you will agree.
Yeah.
It's much easier to take something that someone has already created and improve it, because they already have a proven commodity. Now you're going to just take that proven commodity and optimize it versus starting from scratch and hoping you're going to be 1 in 100 that's lucky enough to survive the first year.
So the analogy would be rather than on the internet, in the old days, you'd buy, you know, there'd be a little retail store, a little mom and pop store or whatever, or it could be any type of store that is successfully running. But didn't have the sophistication probably to know how to absolutely reach its full potential.
Yeah.
You come in and buy it, right, and improve it. So you're turning it around in a way, but not a turnaround expert in that you're taking a company that's losing money. That's not your criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And how about the owners? Do they stay with you as partners?
You know, typically it depends on the sophistication of the owners. Sometimes when we negotiate the purchase of a website, we negotiate that for the next 30 days or 60 days, they'll stay with us so that there's a smooth transition from the old ownership to the new ownership. But typically we take over management and control of it because of my relationships and the relationships that my partners have, we've really got some of the top people on the planet that know how to drive traffic to websites, that know how to optimize websites, that really know this business inside and out. And the typical person we're buying from may have known about their topic of interest, but they weren't necessarily internet marketing gurus.
That makes sense. So the follow-up question there would be, who then supplies the content? Since the old owners at one time had the content, they were driving traffic, making some money, but not the marketing gurus. Who does the content after the old owners are out?
Well, we have a team of, I think, 250 to 300 content writers. I think 200 of them are based here in the United States, and about 100 of them are based in foreign countries, India or Malaysia. And we have various copywriters that some specialize in just headlines. Others just specialize in creating content. So once we buy a website, we identify a team that's going to be working that website, and we're going to identify one or two copywriters that are going to be providing the copy that's going to be going onto those sites two or three or four times a week.
And so you continue the excellent content or maybe even improve it, I suspect improve it, but now you've got the base of traffic, so now you have something to improve upon there.
Yep.
And you have a base of advertisers, and you'll probably attract others. That's very clever. I love it. That's creative.
Well, thank you. In fact, when I had come up with this idea, it was about 8 years ago when I was running Harv's company, because I would see all these internet marketing gurus who insisted, and I would see them, and I would see how much money they were earning, and I could see the methodologies and the strategies they used. And I was, even 8 years ago, they certainly had a vision that the internet and e-commerce and the amount of money that's invested or spent on the internet was only going to grow over time.
Oh, yeah.
And so I totally buy into that. I don't know if you do, but I totally buy into the idea that the world really has become a whole marketplace. And as a business person myself, I'm looking for a number of things. Number one is, the beautiful thing about being on the internet is that your business is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The second thing is that you have a global market that you can market into, which is big in many respects. The biggest one, David, is that I'm not dependent on any one country's economy.
Yeah.
If the U.S. economy tanks, there's still the India economy, there's the China economy, there's the Russian economy. There's all these other economies that you can market into. So if you believe, like I do, that the amount of e-commerce is only going to skyrocket into the future, why wouldn't you want to position yourself to get your fair share of it?
Totally makes sense. Now, so we talked about hands-off websites, and the first one we talked about is advertising revenue.
Yes.
Criteria existence for 1 year with a profit for 1 year, proven commodity. You had two and three.
Yep.
What are the second and third? I'm real anxious for
that. Okay, the second one is called affiliate income. There are literally tens of thousands of businesses and products out there that you can choose to become an affiliate for. And as an affiliate, you can market and promote their products, and if anybody buys their products through your entry into their marketing system, you get paid an affiliate fee.
Hmm.
So let's say, for example, you own a website that we've purchased for you that gives golf tips. Okay, and there's a guy who has a golf school in Fort Lauderdale, and he's advertising on your website, and anybody who clicks on it and buys his golf school for $2,000, you make $200 from it.
So affiliates are like little agents.
Yeah, you're like little agents. You're driving traffic to that particular product or service, and every time they buy that product or service, you're making a 10 or 20 or 30 or 50% what's called affiliate fee.
So how do you do that? You place affiliates, you'll say some product or services, and what, people subscribe through you to become an affiliate, or how does that work?
No. So let's say, for example, again, I went out for you as a client, and I found you a website, and it had to be a golf website.
Yeah.
And when I bought that website, there were three or four different affiliate programs that the previous owner of that website had investigated of the literally tens of thousands of affiliate programs he could promote.
Mm-hmm.
He's identified four that people seem to like to click on a lot and seem to like to buy their products. So now we're saying, okay, well, if we buy this website, we're already attached to these four affiliates. But let's do some testing, because we have a list here of 5,000 other affiliate programs out there that we could also subscribe to, and many of them are totally related to the golf viewers and readers that are coming to your website. And we can start playing around and seeing if there's, on page two of your website, we may not have an affiliate link. Let's start testing and seeing if there's other affiliates that we can add to the website, because we know every time someone visits your site and they click on one of those affiliate links and they buy something, that's money in your pocket.
Wow, that's sort of cool stuff there.
Yep.
Affiliate programs.
You can pick whatever product or service you're totally infatuated with, or you really have a passion for, and you can become an affiliate and earn money for it. It's not a new concept.
Nice. And then the third one?
The third one would be products. And typically, when it comes to products for sale, they're going to fall into one of two categories. They're going to be a digital product, or they're going to be what's called a dropship product. So let me quickly give you an example of a digital product. Here you are, David, and you've come up with 17 ways to earn $1 million walking around your house in your underwear all day long. And you write an ebook. Right, and you create a website, and you're selling this ebook, how to create your millions of dollars in your underwear all day long, right? and you're selling this ebook for $19.97, and people are buying. You do some marketing, and you do some SEO, and you get, all of a sudden, here it is, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months into launching this business. Now every month you've got people coming buying your book. Now, when they pay the $19.97 with their MasterCard and it's been approved by your merchant account, the purchaser gets a link that says you can now download this book. Now, when that happens, how much inventory do you have to have on hand so that every time somebody buys a book, you got one to send to them?
You don't need any.
Right. And how much is your actual cost of the product itself?
Well, from there on, zero.
Right. So once you produce the ebook, or it could be an MP3 file, like an interview. You and I do an interview. We're going to talk about 10 ways to create passive income streams in the next 30 days.
Right.
And we're gonna create this digital MP3 product that we're going to sell for $4.97 or $19, whatever we want.
Right.
Again, once we've created that product, what is our cost of inventory? What is our cost of shipping? What is our cost of goods? Was it none, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if you wrote that book, and now you said, you know what? I want to take the family to Bora Bora. I need $10,000. And you say, I got my website. I wonder if anybody would be willing to buy my website and my book from me. And my partner happens to be looking at sites for sale, and he sees your website, and he sees the traffic that you've been generating, and he sees the sales. Now, if we buy that website from you, what do we need to know about the 19 ways to make money in your underwear?
Really, you don't need anything. You just have to know what the present value of the cash stream and then buy the business.
Exactly.
Hey, that was good. Exactly. Money on a CPA.
There you go. And then, of course, the other thing might be a drop ship situation where you've already pre-negotiated with a particular vendor where you're going to sell the product, and when the money comes in, you ship them their cost, and they automatically drop ship the product to the seller. Or to the buyer, I should say.
Wow, so you got a lot of things going.
So those are the ways that we earn money from these websites, and the idea is to make them as hands off as possible. So and of course we're always looking for an already proven commodity that we can continue to grow and develop.
Very, very cool. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break right now, and when we come back we'll get into the guts of the discussion. How important is mindset in a business environment? I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, let's do it.
This is going to be great. This is Breakthrough Thinking, the NLP Show. I'm Dave Isaac, and special in-studio guest Jeff Fagan, CEO and partner of Cloud Income Properties. We'll be right back.
Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, live from the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. Of course, you can catch us on Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, breakradioshow.com, or blogtalkradio.com/BTBN. Of course, we're also on 1480 AM KPHX every Saturday from 11 to 2 in Phoenix, Arizona. And, of course, you can catch all of that action as well on breakradioshow.com in studio. We have a most amazing guest, Jeff Fagan, CEO and partner, Cloud Income Properties. Fascinating what you explained. I totally agree with you. Internet is here to stay for sure. E-commerce is going to be cooking and continue to do that. The world is a smaller place, but larger profits floating all around. So I think this is great. You can hear a rebroadcast of this, and I suggest you do this. Especially in the beginning, because that's all we did so far is the beginning. You don't want to miss anything. So if you're joining us right now, you're going to hear some other great stuff, but you don't want to miss what Jeff talked about early about purchasing websites, what Cloud Income Property does. And, of course, you can go to breakradioshow.com, go to archives, the NLP show, and you can hear this again and again and again. Jeff, is that fun or what?
Well, that's awesome. You know, the expression is repetition is the mother of learning.
Yeah, that's right. There's no doubt about it. And let's talk now about some of the topics, because I agree with you. How important is mindset in a business environment? However, before we answer that question, the first question should be, how do you define mindset? Everyone probably has a different definition. I'm interested in what your definition is.
Well, I appreciate you asking that question, because I would echo what my mentor and very good friend T. Harv Eker has to say about mindset. He doesn't actually call it a mindset. He calls it your financial blueprint.
Mm.
And you know what he says is that, he says, give me 5 minutes with anyone and I can predict your financial future for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because you can learn everything there is to know about sales and marketing and entrepreneurship and investments and real estate and websites and all that stuff. But if your mindset isn't set for very high levels of success, if your personal character, if your traits, your habits, the way you think, the things you do, the courage that you display on a regular basis, if you don't have all those personal characteristics, you can learn about everything else in the world. It's not going to make one hill of beans of difference. So it's all about the character and the attitudes and the belief systems that you carry with you all day long.
Two words, think big.
Amen.
Am I right?
That's
what you're saying.
You bet. Think big and think. Positive, but also Napoleon Hill, who I'm a huge advocate of, he calls it accurate thinking. So it's important to think positively, but it's also important to make sure that you're not thinking unrealistically about the things that you're working towards. Otherwise, your enthusiasm will get you carried away,
yeah,
and you'll end up doing a whole bunch of things that aren't going to get you there. So it's really building that character of mindset that leads you to success.
You know, NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, Tony Robbins, probably the most well-known of the NLP practitioners, it's very similar. The way NLP would describe it is beliefs. What are you capable of? Whatever you believe you're capable of, you'll go up to that limit, and that's it. But who sets the limit? Well, your unconscious mind sets the limit. So, and I know your friend T. Harv Eker also believes in that as well. And I think it's very important to realize that we all have self-imposed limitations.
Yes.
And the key word is self-imposed limitations. The question is, and I believe that's a big part of mindset, so we're sort of answering what the question is in terms of how do you define mindset. So if beliefs are part of that mindset at an unconscious level, how do you tell people, or how do you demonstrate to people, or how do you help people rise above their self-imposed limitations, because everyone thinks they can only make, you know, X amount of money per year, and they stop. That's it. You know, when they make it, that's it. And they'll create challenges to prove that they're right. They can only make X amount.
That's a great question, Dave. And I would say this. Any change begins with one word, awareness.
Yeah.
You can't change what you're not aware of. So the first thing you have to do is you have to realize that you have some limitations and that your biggest challenge to your success is not outside of yourself, it's between your ears.
Absolutely.
So when you become aware that some of your beliefs may not necessarily be taking you where you want to go, then you can do something about it. But until you become aware of it, there's not much you can do. So the first thing I always try to do is make sure that people become aware of what their belief systems are and where it's gotten them to this point. And usually the best way is to say, you know, you have a blueprint when it comes to money. Would you like to know what it is? And most people will say yes. And they say, well, look at your bank account.
Yeah.
Look at your income.
Yeah.
Look at your savings. Look at your investments. Look how you manage your credit. Look how you do you work for someone or do you work for yourself? When you start looking at your blueprint, you begin to become much more aware of, do I have money management skills or do I mismanage my money? And now you become much more aware of where you need to begin to make changes if you want to see the right kind of a result.
You know, that's a really good point. That's exactly what NLP would say. The beliefs about that can be tracked. You know, beliefs about what your limits are can be tracked by look at your pattern over the last 3, 4, or 5 years. And it's probably, you know, pretty flat. It might go down a little, up a little. But generally speaking, that's what you unconsciously believe you're capable of earning. And, of course, it's not just financial. It's in any other area as well. I mean, you've heard sayings like she's out of your leagues or relationships too.
Yep.
Like if you don't believe you have, what it takes or you don't have the confidence or you don't believe, you're lovable or good enough, then you're going to attract the people that, at a level that will think you are, but what part of the market are you missing?
Well, you know, Dave, it was Henry Ford who says whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I like that a lot. And so that's important, the awareness. I agree with you. And once you're aware, there are, I know NLP and I know T.R. Becker, you all have techniques to be able to change what I call limiting beliefs to empowering beliefs.
Yes, exactly. In fact, I teach that frequently, and it really has to do with the 4 stages of change. Because the first stage that we talked about was being aware of your current thinking and your current belief systems and how that may be impacting you in a negative way. It's not empowering, it's disempowering.
Yeah.
So the second part of the change process is to become aware of how did you come to be this person in the first place? How did you get the programming that you're currently running on? And then the third thing is recognizing that just because you had that old programming doesn't mean that you have to continue to have that programming. And then the fourth thing is what's called reconditioning. Let's take the old programming, let's toss it to the side and replace it with a new set of beliefs and a new set of habits, so you're going to start getting a whole new set of results.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And it's really easier than most people think.
It is.
But people like to hang around with what their security blanket or their comfort zone, which really is a doomsday vehicle, I think, because the comfort zone is going to put you down and keep you under your potential, and that's just not good. So I agree with you. Beliefs are so critical, and it's so easy. I did a bunch of seminars on belief systems, and I said, okay, raise your hand if you can think you can make $10,000 a year. And the whole, you know, there were like, I don't know, 100 people there, and they all raised their hand. I go, what about 25,000? And a few people dropped their hands. Most kept them up. 50,000. Most kept, you know, still some hands went down. 100,000. So when we got up to like $500,000, there was only 1 or 2 hands. And I go, well, who decided that for you? I mean, right? I mean, it's self-imposed limitations.
It is.
And it's not about the money. It's not about, you know, money is a thing that at an identity level that's important. It's just that you can earn money and do so much good. You know, give it to charities or whatever you want. It's not about money being the savior of yourself, you know, from a long-term infinite perspective, but it is about demonstrating value to the world, and value comes back. doesn't mean you have to hoard the money. It just means you can earn it and not feel bad.
I, you know, a couple of things about that, Dave, because all great points. The first one is I think money is important in the areas where it's terribly important, and it's totally unimportant in the areas of your life where it's not important. But to dismiss the fact that money is not important.
Well, it is important.
I do believe it is very, very important.
Yeah.
So to me, I think it's critical that you don't dismiss it, but that you keep it in context of where it is
relative
to everything else. That's like if someone said to you, what's more important, your arm or your leg? Hey, they're both important, right? Well, you know, and so people sometimes have been brainwashed to believe that you can either be rich or you can be happy, but you can't be both. Or you can be rich, or you can be a crook. But you can't be both.
I mean,
you can't. You know, if you're rich, chances are you can't be spiritual.
And there's sayings like, you know, money is the root of all evil.
Sure.
But really, I agree with you. You're right on point. It is important. And I'm just thinking that if you attach it to your identity, money is who you are, I'm not sure that's the best thing.
Yep.
But who you are to give value and service to others and getting fair compensation in return and do good in the world with money, why not?
Well, you know what, Dave? I actually, when I do a lot of public speaking, I actually market myself as a financial evangelist.
Oh, cool.
And I say there are three reasons why you actually want to go out there and become really, really rich.
Yeah.
The first reason is lifestyle. Let's face it. If you've got enough money, you know, I don't know how many times we get to go around in life. I mean, maybe some people believe in reincarnation.
Right.
But assuming that if we're only going to have one time, why not go around in style?
Yeah.
Why not get to travel around the world and enjoy some of the finer things in life? So that's the first reason.
Yeah.
The second thing is contribution, as you were talking about.
Yeah.
The more you have, the more you can make a difference in other people's lives.
Yeah.
I can tell you beyond any shadow of a doubt that I have many, many people I know that, you know, when times are tough, a word of encouragement is great, but if you can write them a check for $500 right now, that or $1,000, that means a whole lot more to them.
It's huge.
It's life-changing for these people.
Yeah.
And it's great to be in a position where you can make a difference in people's lives that way.
Yeah.
The third reason is who you have to become in order to become financially free, the challenges you're going to have to overcome, the personality you're going to have to acquire, the belief system you're going to have to do, what kind of a person do you have to grow into to become a financially free person? So those are the three reasons why I think it's definitely worth everybody's effort to really strive to reach their full financial potential.
Well, I like that, what you said, the lifestyle contribution and who do you have to become. And that's key. That's a big part of neurolinguistic programming is the who part.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a minute, why are we here? And it's just not to make money, but if we're here to grow, transform, to evolve to our highest and best, part of that is making money. And why not? You don't want to say no, but why not make the money? Because your value in exchange, you know, you can look at money as an energy source or as an exchange of value.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not making a lot of money, either you got some belief systems that you think it's evil or you don't unconsciously think you're worth enough.
Well, you know, to your point, well taken, it is a guy by the name of Buckminster Fuller.
Oh, yeah.
And Bucky Fuller said the purpose of our lives is to add value to people of this generation and the generations that follow. And as an entrepreneur, the best definition of an entrepreneur I've ever heard is a person who solves problems for people at a profit.
Exactly.
So my question to most of the people I meet is, from purely a purpose point of view, how would you like to solve problems for lots and lots and lots of people? And most people say yes. And then how would you mind being rewarded for doing that? Do you have a problem with that? And most people say no. And that's what it's all about. An entrepreneur is simply a problem solver. And as Bucky Fuller says, hey, our goal is to add value in people's lives, solve problems for people. And as long as you don't have a blueprint that says it's sacrilegious to be paid for adding value in people's lives, for getting paid for delivering my value, then the more people you solve problems for, the more income you earn.
It's just a natural reflection of that.
Yes.
And I agree, adding value. Now, if you take it a step further, and you've said it earlier today, adding value also, you can't add value unless you have value to give.
Right.
So a lot of people, there's a lot of salespeople out there, let's say the 98%, the 2%, The champion salespeople know this. The other 98% is just pushing their product.
Yep.
I always say, what can you give that's beyond your product or service? That means, can you inspire people? Yeah, you may have a product there. I have a, you know, I do CPA activities, mm-hmm. NLP seminars. We have a radio show. But the thing is it's not about, you know, a tax return or business consulting. It's what can you do beyond that? And beyond that is you can inspire, you can motivate, encourage. And if you know some of the NLP techniques or Jeff, some of the techniques that you have for mindset, to improve one's mindset, that's priceless. I mean, that can save lives. And if that's what we're here to do, why not become our greatest self to create our greatest value to change the world?
I'm with you 100%. In fact, my club here in town, my nonprofit club, the Phoenix 2% Club, the mission of the club is to educate and inspire people to reach their full financial potential.
Wow, give me some knuckles.
There we go.
I wish we had a camera. Oh, yeah, we did, what do you call it, the boom?
That's right, exactly. So I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
And you know, the challenge that I find is that we live in a society where virtually everybody's blueprint, especially when it comes to money, is so distorted. And unfortunately, I mean, when you think about it, we've all been trained from the time we were children that we had to go to work and get a job to make money.
Yeah.
So in other words, if we wanted money, we had to have a job and we had to go to work. And on top of that, if you think about it, Dave, during our grade school days, our teachers, they weren't employers, they were employees. Then we went to high school. They weren't employers. They were employees.
Right.
Then we went to college. Our college professors were employees. Then we went to graduate school, still employees. So by the time you're 22, 23, your entire life you've been taught by nothing but a bunch of employees.
Yeah.
All they can teach you is how to be an employee,
yeah,
how to have a job. But you don't win the financial game by working income. You win the financial game when you learn how to create what's called passive income,
yeah,
income that comes in when you're not working. Well, Dave, when did someone say to you, you know, as a kid, hey, go earn some passive income?
Yeah.
Nobody ever tells you that.
Go up the corporate ladder.
And nowadays, job security is an oxymoron.
Oh, yeah.
That model no longer exists, but yet all the kids in school today and almost everybody you meet has been taught and trained to have a job and go to work, and that model is disappearing, so they're not prepared to take advantage of the opportunities that are available today.
Yeah, times have changed, and really, I don't think times did change. Yeah, people in the old days, after 25 years of service, they get the gold watch or
yep,
whatever. I always said, I've been in my own business since 1985. Wow, I can't even count that high, but it's a long time. I always said the most secure job is working for yourself, not working for another company.
Totally agree.
You're in total control. Yeah. You don't have any guaranteed salary, but it's through your effort and value. And if you have confidence and you're really good at communication and helping people, you'll never lose. Never lose, because the reward also, in addition to money, is actually helping people.
Yep. I totally agree with you 100%.
I think we should take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Jeff Fagan. This is great, CEO and partner of Cloud Income Properties. This is about, hey, what are we here for? Can we improve our mindset in life and business? We're going to talk more about that and give out some phone numbers, because I want people to get in touch with you, Jeff. I think this is great. We'll be right back.
Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602 866-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Weidenauer, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the NLP show every Monday from 2 to 3 here on Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Hear us on breakradioshow.com as well as blogtalkradio.com/BTBN. And this is the NLP show, as I mentioned. Of course, in studio guest is Jeff Fagan, CEO and partner of Cloud Income Properties. And, Jeff, we've been talking about mindset, and I think this is so critical, mindset in business and life. We've also talked about some of your companies, Cloud Income Properties. So if people want to hear if you're just joining us, let's put it this way, and you want to hear a replay, and if you've missed the first part of the show about income-producing properties, you definitely want to hear this part of the show that we just had from 2, and now it's about 2:48. So go to breakradioshow.com, archives, NLP show, and you will hear all the action here. Jeff, this is exciting. We've been talking about mindset, how important mindset is. We went over beliefs, how important your beliefs are in terms of your performance. Let me ask you this, state of mind. The state of mind, not just mindset, but your state of mind, like passion, excitement, enthusiasm. I don't even have to ask this question. I'm going to ask it. How important is it? Have you ever seen a depressed sales guy ever do well?
You know, I never have. That's a great question. There's an author. His name is Stuart Wilde. I don't know if you've ever heard of Stuart.
Yeah.
And Stuart said this. He said, the key to success is to raise your own energy. And when you do, people will naturally be attracted to you.
Yeah.
And when they show up, bill them.
Exactly.
Napoleon Hill said, attitude is the most important thing. W. Clement Stone said, if you want to be enthusiastic, act enthusiastic. If you want to be successful, act successful. So all of these things are just paramount to developing the right kind of mindset and attitude it takes to be successful.
No doubt about it. And I agree with you. State of mind is so critical. Another aspect I like to talk about are their goal setting. A lot of people have having goals. They want something. I want a new car. I want a new girlfriend. I want a vacation, whatever the case it is, it doesn't matter. And then they go, okay, now I got to do something about it. So the next step is doing goals.
Mm-hmm.
And they think those two will lead, once they achieve whatever it is, to state of being goals, how happy you'll be. I say it's in reverse. You got to start with state of being goals, doing goals, and then having goals. America has it in the wrong place. They teach it the wrong. They go have goals, then doing goals, and then state of being goals. But if you start with your state of being goals and you're passionate and you're happy already, just because you are, the next step, get out there, take action, you'll get what you want.
Agreed. You said it. It's be, do, have in that order.
Exactly.
Yep.
But I think most goal setters will say, no, have, do, and be.
Yep.
They think the first two impact the second, the third one. I don't think that is should be the case. Because look at all the suicides in Hollywood. Elvis Presley had virtually anything anyone by society standards would ever want. He had these things. He wasn't happy.
Well, not only that, you can use celebrities as one example.
Yeah.
Take a look at professional athletes.
Yeah, another one.
And within, it's a statistic that boggles the mind that within 2 to 3 years after retiring, professional football players, 80% of them file bankruptcy.
Wow.
So are they happy? Well, maybe they were happy while they had it.
Yeah.
They sure as heck didn't have a mindset to be able to do anything with it once they had it. So, you know, I'll say one thing, though. There's an expression, money can't buy happiness. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather try being happy with it than without it.
Yeah, you could still be happy with it. Well, look at Junior Seau, right?
Sure.
I mean, very sad. I mean, a very popular guy.
Yep.
It somehow just wasn't happy. I mean, you know, I think happiness goals should be number one. You know, state of being goals, be that what you see. You know, be that type of person. It goes a long way, and I think that is part of the mindset. You may have to break some habits of the past where you think you need something to be happy first. There are ways in NLP to learn that. I'm sure also, Jeff, you have other ways in a seminar or anything you've done that can teach that as well.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, David, happiness is a choice.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a choice we can make at any moment throughout the day, and that's a choice that you can learn to focus on at any point so that you don't need to have a reason to be happy. You're just happy to be alive. that to be reason enough to be happy. So sometimes they think that happiness is the result of doing something or saying something. But happiness can just be a state of mind because you're just thrilled to beat the alternative of being dead.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And ever watch the TV series Kung Fu?
Yes.
David Carradine?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I think he's since passed away. But I love that TV series because there's this calm guy.
Yeah.
I mean, a real calm guy. And I remember one scene that he was in this igloo, like in the middle of the desert because, no one liked, I guess there's a lot of prejudice or whatever. So no matter what David Carradine did, he was in trouble. But there was some other guy that actually stole a horse or something. So they put both of them in this igloo thing, and it was, 150 degrees in the desert and really hot. So one guy, the real thief, was just really freaking out. And he said, get me out, just freaking out because it's an enclosed place, very small and hot. And there's David Carradine, Kung Fu guy, in his lotus position sitting there. And he goes, you're not in a prison. The prison is within you.
Well said.
And that's how we can end the show because that was fantastic.
Yes.
The prison is within oneself. look internally and you can change your life. How do people get in touch with you, Jeff?
They can reach me directly on my phone, 480-760-5787. Again, 480-760-5787. They can go to our website, which is cloudincomeproperties.com, or they can just email me at jeff@cloudincomeproperties.com.
This is fantastic. What if people just can sit down with you for an hour, I think you could change their lives. Shorter. I mean, you just have this way about you that clearly will make a difference in the world.
Well, thank you, David. It's really a pleasure being on the show. I hope you'll invite me back.
There's no question about it. I will. And I remind people, again, go to breakradioshow.com for the archive of this show. Go to archives, the NLP show. You'll find this great, great information today. Again, Jeff Fagan, thank you for joining us, and we'll have you back.
My pleasure. Thanks again, Dave.
You're more than welcome. Stay tuned for Understanding Autism up at 3 o'clock in about 3 minutes, and we'll be right back.